Look in Psalms 51. And I'm going to read you a letter. One of the brothers in San Luis Potosí, Roberto Espinosa. My dad told you about him when he taught. He wrote a letter to you. He wanted me to read. And this is what it says. Dear brethren, I want through this letter to say hello to all of you in the acknowledgement that the church and you are also sharing the joy and the blessings that our God gives to all of us. I want you to know that the church over here is growing slowly in members, but for sure the Lord is working on us, growing in joy, fellowship, and a very strong way in the Word of God and all the gifts the Lord has gave to us, as well as enjoying the salvation we have through the promises of our mighty God. Therefore, there is just one thing left to say. Thank you and the Church of our God at San Antonio for sharing the gift of the acknowledgement of our Lord Jesus Christ and for being faithful to the calling of our Lord to spread the gospel to every creature. I would like to meet you someday soon and say again to you, thank you. Always thankful, Roberto Espinosa. His English, he speaks English, he learned it down in Mexico, speaks it real well, doesn't write it quite well, that's why the letter's a little choppy. But he had tears in his eye when he told me he's very thankful to the people here. He said, for sending missionaries down to show them the gospel. Very, very thankful to you. They appreciate you a lot, this church up here. And not necessarily because of the people, but the God's love that you've shown through you. As I was saying in Psalm 51, I never thought of Psalms as a book where you'd find a message. I always read it for blessings. Whenever you feel down, discouraged, well, you know, read Psalms. But I was reading here just now in the meeting. I had another message prepared, and Terry asked me for a verse, and I'm going to steal it from her. Psalm 51, and it says in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Very powerful words right here. He says, David had just fallen in sin. We all know that. He just committed adultery with Bathsheba. Instead of out in war, fighting the ungodly, fighting the Philistines, the Gentiles, with all his men. Well, he was up on the roof of his house, walking around, doing nothing, like many Christians are today, walking around. And he sees something that he didn't have. Now, Nathan the prophet said, you'd have any woman you want. Of all the women, you could have one, any one, two, three, you could have them. But you wanted another man's wife. And when Christians start walking around in the battlefield, they go up to their house and they sit back with their lemonade and they start walking around on the roof, they start seeing things that aren't for them. And they start coveting things that aren't for them. Other men's wife, as we would say. And after that, he sins. Nathan comes to him and he tells him this parable. It's classic parable. He says, one man had one sheep and he loved it. He fed it with his children. Another man had a bunch. And the man that had a bunch, he had a guest. He goes and he grabs the poor man's sheep and he kills it and eats it. What do we do? And David says, kill him! He says, you're that man. Oh, well, have mercy on you. He says, you're that man. And David, and that's why he calls David the man after God's own heart. Because David says, oh, instead of trying to defend himself, he recognizes sin. And God says, your son will die. And he says, whatever you will. And it says here, he writes this psalm, Psalm 51, after this sin, after Nathan has come to him. And he says right here, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit within me. I want to touch the reasons why many Christians aren't evangelists or aren't evangelizing, aren't reaching out, aren't soul winning like they should. And one reason is because of sin or because of past sin. See, the devil, he'll use either one. I've always told the people in San Luis, the devil don't really care what he gets you with. He don't care whether it's an arrow or a sword or a pocket knife or with a paper cut. If he can hurt you, he don't care why. That's why people think religion is, God, devil uses religion? I thought it was, you know, the bars and the booze and devil use anything he can to get you. You Christians, the devil use anything he can. And it's not always a woman walking down the street that will get you. Many times he'll just say, Danny, you're going to preach? What about what you did last year? Michael, you're going to go out and soul win? What about what you did yesterday? Getting all mad at the guy that cut you off in the lane and when you're driving? Remember that? And you start thinking, oh, Lord, I'm not worthy. I can't do it anymore. You go find someone else that's better. And so the devil, he'll use sin. He'll try to get your fallen sin or he'll use your past sin. And right here, David is repenting of the Lord. And he says, create in me a clean heart. And that's the first step before we go out and evangelize. Now, this isn't a one-year process of, you know, you start out and every day you get better and better. Then in 1 year, you can go out and evangelize. Because I guarantee you, you'll sin many more times before that happens. This is like a mourning process. You get up in the morning, you do this, and then you go out that day, and you soul win. Through your job, through wherever you're at. Many people put a lot of I've heard, you know, especially from the groups. You know, my grandfather, he gets groups down from the States, young people's group. Well, they put real high emphasis on being a minister. You know, well, our minister, he says this. Our minister, he does this. Well, we aren't ministers. God says, minister your gift. And other than that, many people like to play with that word. Well, being a soul winner just isn't my gift. You read what the Bible says? Use your gift and do the work of an evangelist. Gift and evangelizing have nothing to do. You may be good at evangelizing. You may be good at soul winning. You may be good at persuading men, as Billy said. But that has nothing to do whether you do it or not. The Bible says you have your gift and you are to fulfill it. You are to be the best pastor you can be. You are to be the best deacon you can be. You are to be the best, whatever it is your gift, you are to be the best you can be. But you are also to be an evangelist. Every single one. And no one is too young and no one is too old. But the first process in the morning is creating me a clean heart. What does the Bible say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the man speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the man speaketh. If you don't have a clean heart, out of what abundance will you be speaking? What we've seen on the television, what we've seen on the movie screen, what we've just been reading. We need to have a clean heart in the morning. And it says, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. After the heart, very important to have a right spirit. What did Paul talk about? He's in prison. He's sitting there looking out these bars. And he's seeing these guys preaching. He says, some preach under contention. And he sees all these things going on. How is your spirit? How do you evangelize? How do you soul win? Some is competition. When they read, and we are in a race and run to get the prize, they think they're running against Christians. You're not running against Christians. We don't have chalkboards in the church marking up who gets the most. You don't come in and we don't ask you to fill out a card. Look, here, how many souls have you brought into church today? Did you bring your Bible? Competition against Christians. Competition is against time. You don't have all that much time. You're running a race against time, not against the other Christians. Your competition is whether you'll get to talk to that one person, whether you'll see that relative saved before you die. Competition's against the devil. Competition's against your flesh, the world, but not against Christians. We need a right spirit. Soul winning, it's stealing souls from hell. So soul winning. It's not stealing them from the brethren. Not stealing them from other churches. It's stealing them from religion. And putting them on the path. Not having a bunch of jackknifes walking behind you. It's having Christians walking beside you. A right spirit. And then it says, cast me not away from thy presence. The presence of God. One of the most important factors in soul winning. Whether you are winning children or young people, or adults, old people, the presence of God. Without the presence of God, without the power and the might of God, you will do nothing. You may preach very eloquently. I wrote in one of my letters, and I like the examples, they asked Spurgeon, he's a well-known preacher, very eloquent. You read his sermons, it's like he's standing there preaching to you. They asked Spurgeon what his secret was, and he points to this door, and he says, down there are 300 people that pray. And I thought, that I studied a lot? No, prayer. Presence of God. So he says, don't depart your spirit from me. I need the presence. It is time for you and me to become completely dependent on God. Completely dependent. You want to ask, well, how's a good way to preach? Be dependent on God, first of all. Utmost, dependent on God. Brother, that was a good message. That was the Lord's word. That was God's word. Brother, that was a sorry message. God wasn't with me. I wasn't being very dependent. Dependent on God. Christians, they always want to complain. I've heard, you know, oh, well, I just don't know. Get the presence of God. Get the presence of God. And it says here, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, we need the Holy Spirit. That oil that pours on people. That steaming hot sword, two-edged sword that pierces their heart. You think it's your words that hits people? You think it's your words that persuades people? You think it's your eloquence? I know I do sometimes. Oh yeah, in Aguas when I preach there, it's very hard to get a crowd. In San Luis, they just gather all around. We get 200 people sometimes. And look at that, 200 people. That's pretty good. God says, I'm gonna teach you. You go back the next night, and some guy, he don't know how to preach, you tell him he don't know how to preach, he stands up, you get 250, and you get 5, maybe. That's because they're drunks and they just happen to fall there. He'll teach you, I know. I've been taught, not well enough, but he's teaching me.
I'm bullheaded. I learn slow. But once I got it, I got it. Well, we need the Holy Spirit of God. You need it. No matter who it is, no matter what your position in church is, no matter what country you're in or what city or what neighborhood, you need the Holy Spirit. And if you don't got it, oh, woe is you. Then it says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Now, this is what I want to talk a little more on. Because most Christians, this is where, you know why people don't like Christians? It's not because they aren't moral. That's what they commend me for. Oh, you're a moral person. They'll steal from me because they know I won't steal from them. And they'll hit me downtown because they know I won't hit them. And they'll push me because they know I'm not going to push them back. But you know what really, what people really don't like about Christians? Christians don't have much joy. They call Christians duds, drags. Aw, man, I don't want to go to church. They're going to be singing those songs, Almighty. And, you know, good songs, but they sing them, you know, all dry bones. They look in here like Ezekiel on the valley and say, dry bones! And we profess to have life. We profess to have joy. We say we have Christ. Well, I'll tell you what, Christ showed His joy through. We're like, oh, I have joy, but it's way deep inside. I keep it all bottled up and it's like vintage wine. Yeah, right. No, brothers, our joy should come off our fingers like honey. Come out of our faces. And it's not that silly joy we walk in and, you know, we get electric guitars and we stand up here and we play rap songs, you know. The Lord loves it. You know, it's not that kind of joy. It's serious joy. Joy that we say we love God and He loves me and that's why I'm happy. Amen. Without that joy, you think you're going to attract Christians? I mean, lost people, excuse me, you won't attract Christians either. But you're not going to sure attract lost people. The joy of our salvation. And you know, I remember me a little. I was 6 years old when I got saved. But I remember other people, like in Mexico especially, people that got saved, and oh, they were happy. Man. And I was happy. Oh, yes, joy. And they come to meetings for the first time, and they're just a trembling away, and they're sharing something, and it don't make much sense. But you know what they're sharing? I thank the Lord they saved me. It may take them 10 minutes to say it, but it was, hallelujah, praise the Lord. He's saved, and He knows it, and He's happy. And then about 3 months, he's standing up, and the Trinity is so, and he's giving you a very dry message, and there's no joy. You know, I was telling them that the open meetings, many people, they mistake things. They think they have to come with something very new to get people revived. Or something very, you know, where they say, oh, wow, I never thought of that for joy. No, you come with the old story, with joy in your heart. You can preach the old story, and if it don't bring you joy, it ain't going to bring no one else joy. But if you come preaching, God saved me, and this is why. And I see now that this is the redemption of blood. He shed His blood, and He died on the cross. And if you have joy in that, believe me, I've seen it. If other people have joy. You preach that to lost people. You show them their joy. But as we're saying right now, this is not, this steps right now are right in about happening when you're brushing your teeth. It's when you're starting to try to find the joy of your salvation. Recovering the joy of your salvation does not come by bringing in, from far off, another preacher so he can give it. The secret is not in a revival preacher far away. The secret is in you. Christ is in you, and that is the secret. And you don't need someone else to wake you up. You don't need me up here to wake it up in you. You need to wake it up. You can have the best preacher in the world stand behind this pulpit and slap it all you want or jump over like Dave Jones, and it ain't going to bring you no joy unless you wake up Christ in you. The joy in you. You have to wake it up. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. You know, there was a brother in Mexico in people's church, Rafael. I loved it. He talked about this eagle. The guy had an eagle. And he had captured it with just a little bitty thing. And he tied it with a rope and he put it in his backyard. He drove a stake and he tied it with 12 foot. So that eagle, you know, he'd flap his wings and he'd start growing up. Well, for 2 years, the eagle just tied to the stake. Never let him go. And he would go out there and show all his friends, look at my eagle, big old eagle. And this humongous, noble creature going around this stake in the dust. Picking up feet off the ground like a chicken. Just flapping his wings. You may think, well, the eagle says he's imagining that he's flying because, you know, he's flapping his wings and acting like he sees a mouse way far down. He picks up that seed, you know, it's only like 6 inches from him. He's flapping his wings around the stake. But one day somebody told him, you know, that's terrible. He said, you're right. And he goes out there and cuts the rope. Comes out in the morning and that eagle's still going around that stake like this. Flapping his wings, going around the stake. No rope on him. Just going around that track he's always been. Tries to scare it away, and the eagle just keeps going right around that stake. It's like a lot of Christians. God cuts that chain of sin, and Christians just keep going around it and around it and around it and around it. They don't really realize that they are free. They don't really realize that they are free. I ask you, do you realize you are free? Yeah. You are free? You can go up and fly like eagles. But instead, what we do, we're on the ground picking up seeds like chickens, hens, just seeing what we find on the ground. We need to find the free spirit of the Lord. Free spirit.
And then the last part, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee.
See, Christians got it all backwards. They think, if I go out and soul win and I win something, then I'll be happy. It's like saying, well, if I buy a new car, then I'll be happy.
Well, then when your car gets old, then you'll be sad.
Or when somebody like me drives it and demolishes it like I did Karen's car, then you'll be sad. What does your joy depend on? Christians say, if I would soul win, then I would have the joy of my salvation, then I would be free, then I would have the Spirit, then I... No, you're wrong. You have the Spirit, you have the joy, you have the freedom, then you soul win. Then you reach people for Christ. And so David, he says, do all this, then I will teach transgressors. Many Christians, they want to teach transgressors before they taught themselves. They want to go up to a transgressor, to a sinner, and say, oh, you're a sinner, you have religion, you need Jesus, you need to be happy like me. And you know good and well, you may smile to them, but you know inside you're not. You know inside you're not right. And not just in joy, but how about sin in our lives? As I said, the devil will get you to two things, mainly sin and past sin. Now let's talk a little bit about sin. You want to teach the transgressors, and you want to go up to them, and you know, you should never stop sowing, but you should also never stop asking for a clean heart. You should never stop asking forgiveness for yourself. Never. In the mornings, we wake up, ask forgiveness. At night, you should ask forgiveness. Make sure you have a clean spirit within you. It's time we examine ourselves. Look over in Hebrews. Hebrews 12. Leave your place. We're going to come back to there. Hebrews 12. 12:2. 12:1. Let us lay aside every weight and sin. It's 12:1b. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us. Let us set aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. You know, we are so frail and we are so weak that any little weight, any little sin does beset us, just puts us off. Off track. Had that Olympic runner, Hard Luck Mary or something, man. She broke her ankle or something like two or three times in the Olympics. She wrecked two or three times. Something very small beset her. One time just someone bumped her on the hip and fell all out or something like that. You know, us as Christians, we gotta be sure when we go out, we're gonna be fighting with the devil. Now, in Mexico, they got these ideas, and they got them here. You know, the devil, he's red, and he's got these horns, like this, and he's got a little tail, swings, got a pitchfork, and he goes around, and he pokes Christians in the rear. I'm afraid not. Devil, he don't got no horns, and he's not red, and he don't have a tail. I'll tell you something, he pokes Christians where it hurts most. Right? It don't matter where. If it would hurt you to keep you home from church, he'll do it. If it hurts you to keep you from praise, he'll do it. If it'll hurt you to see a woman, he'll let you see. He'll put one right there. If it hurts you to have, you know, I always hated the best programs, the shows I always wanted to see were Wednesday night. I hated that. And I didn't have a VCR. I mean, all we had was a black and white TV. And man, I wanted to stay home and watch those shows. And I tell you, some Christians do. And if I'd been on my own, I probably would have. So we have to put away every weight that we found. I'm not telling you to throw away your TV. Learn some self-control, maybe. But if you cannot control the TV, throw it away. If you cannot control, you know, your food, then you buy less food. Starve a couple days. If you cannot control things, then you gotta get rid of them. Put them away. Take them off. Christians are trying to run with 100 pounds of lead strapped to their belt. And they're trying to run. And they're trying to beat the devil. And they're trying to beat the world. And you're trying to beat your flesh. And you can't with all that weight on you. Three enemies a Christian has. You have the devil, and that's what we blame everything on. You know, I think it's really complimenting the devil. Half the things, you know, devil don't do most of the things, you do. Then you got the world, and we like to blame everything else on the world. Then you got your ugly flesh. And the main problem is your flesh. The devil says, look, a pit, you say, I'll jump. The world says, look, a nail, you say, I'll put my head on it. You squish it. I mean, our flesh just is eager to hurt the spirit. And so we got to put away every weight. Go back to Psalm 51. The conclusion here is, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. 14. Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. God's the answer. God first, God second, and God last. He's the answer. His spirit is the answer to your soul winning problem. His power is the answer to your lack of prayer.
His faithfulness is the answer to your lack of joy. God is the answer. Not your power, not your strength, not your knowledge, not how much you read the Bible. God is your answer. You want to be a soul winner? Go through Psalm 51. There's other chapters you can find. Hebrews 12, and there's a bunch of others. You go through and you do that in the morning. And then, do not neglect to go out and soul. Don't do all the preparation. Put on the work gloves and the work boots and the work pants and the cap and everything and then go out and go fishing. Put on, get ready. Put on the armor of God. Grab the sword and go out ready to fight. The moment you step out the door, and some of you don't even have to leave your house, and you know it. People unsaved in your house. So, it's time we all examine ourselves. Find what's wrong in each one of us. Is it sin? Is it just weight? Family? Houses? Money? You find out what's wrong. God is the answer.